Appreciate that, Jabiskies. Again, Merry Christmas. Good to see you today. Good to see you, Dominic. When'd you get in town?
Last night.
How was that trip?
Lots of fun.
When did you leave Oklahoma?
Friday morning.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here safely. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. I saw Matthew and Emily. Matthew and Emily, praise the Lord, from Ohio. This is great. Wonderful. Jules up from Florida. Wonderful. No, wait, South Carolina. Where were you? Florida. Very good. All right, good. And Mrs. Bauman with us. The Eckerts with us. Jacob and Steph. Man, wonderful to see so many loved ones. Michaela, Mike here this morning. Praise the Lord. And thankful for that. Matthew chapter number 1. Appreciate those that help us live comfortably. Our power and gas companies working crazy hours in adverse conditions. Appreciate our fire department. Appreciate Josh going out and helping people. Where you're trying to get out of the weather, and run from problems, they run to the problem. And I appreciate people like that. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, Matthew 1:18. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, thank you again for what this day represents. God, a day that we set aside to just celebrate you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us here today. Lord, help us to be able to see maybe ourselves in the passage and understand how it is that you came to us. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you left us a comforter. Lord, I pray that if someone here today doesn't know you for sure, that today would be the day that they call upon your saving blood to save them from their sin. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are, Christmas morning. Country church, we're living a Hallmark movie. I mean, this is it. If people could trade spots with you, they would. This is what they want. We have something special here. Thankful. And here, for a few moments, we will speak of a name which is above every name. I don't know if Brother Rodell got a hold of my notes this morning in his prayer. He said that. A name above all names. There's something special in this passage. We're told of two names in this passage. One, Jesus, the other, Emmanuel. Both referencing the same person. The Christ. The Messiah. The Savior. Those two names produce two different things. Number one, the name of Jesus is his purpose. The name Emmanuel is our comfort. Let's look at these two things here this morning. In Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. If you scan over your page, just looking at it, those names are boldened. They're in caps, capitalized. Look at verse 25. And he shall be, and he called his name Jesus. That's what his purpose was. Why was he called Jesus? In verse 21, we're told, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ came with a purpose. It wasn't just to test things out. I just want to see what it would be like. I just want to experience what they experienced. No, God was manifested in the flesh that day for a purpose. That purpose was you. He left the glories of heaven, where all around him his name was exalted. He came and was despised of his own. He veiled his deity at times. Say, why would he leave perfection to come to this? We're excited about heaven. Why? Because we get to leave this sin-stricken world to go to a place that is holy and righteous. They say once you take a vacation to Hawaii, you'll never want to go anywhere else. It's the best, they say. The weather, the climate, the circumstances, the beauty, the... Why? Leaving the glories of heaven, the perfection, the adoration, the worship all the time, would he come here? Why would he lower himself to this place? Because he had a purpose. His purpose was to save his people from their sins. In Acts chapter 13, turn with me there. We're going to look at just a bunch of verses this morning, talking about those two thoughts, his purpose and then his comfort. Jesus Emmanuel. Acts chapter 13, Paul preaching, verse 16, and Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." He's calling to their attention in verse 17, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and when and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness." Acts chapter 13, verse 19 says, "And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet." What is Paul doing here? He's going through the Old Testament. He's bringing them up to speed. He's reminding them of things. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David." David, right? "To be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Well, he's taking them from the deliverance out of Egypt all the way through David here. Verse 23. "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior." A Savior. That's the purpose. That's why God sent Jesus to this earth. That's why for the last 2,000 years, we'd set aside time every single year to celebrate one day. The day that Jesus showed up. Why? Because he's our Savior. That's why he came. He didn't come to build a nice house. He didn't come to experience good food. He came to save the world from the penalty of their sin. That was the message of Paul. Here we are some less than a generation from when Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Here he is. He's preaching the gospel. Jesus came to save you. That's why he showed up. Hey, ever wonder why is it that on December 25th, now if you do some study, it probably wasn't December 25th. But does that matter? Probably not as much as set aside some time in our heart and in our mind to celebrate that he did come Ever ask yourself, what's the big deal with Christmas? Why is it so important that Jesus Christ came? Because he came with a purpose. He came to pay for your sins. He came to be your Savior. Remember in John chapter number 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which did what? Which taketh away the sin of the world. As we've said many a times, back in our Old Testament, that Old Testament offering would simply just cover their sin. Year after year, that sin was still there, but it was just covered. Jesus Christ shows up far better than any offering of a ram or anything of that sort, because he could take away our sin. That's exactly what he did. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Say, you know, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to get to God on my own terms. No. We come to God on his terms. It's through Jesus, the Savior. That's why he came, to save his people from their sin. Hey, we need saving. Look at 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John, towards the end of your Bible. Maybe three or four chapters back. 1 John chapter number 3, look at verse 5. To be manifest means to be seen or made known. Here we find that word in 1 John 3:5. And ye know that he was manifest, Christ, manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. There was a purpose. There was a plan. It was executed. Say, why did Jesus come here? To take away our sin. What a great gift. And some of us were without power the last couple days. Man, when those lights come on, oh, hallelujah. Every minute that goes by, every second, you can almost hear the second hand clicking. Long seconds, drawn out seconds, cold seconds. Seconds turn into minutes, minutes into hours, hours into days. Oh, what a relief. When all of a sudden the whole house, beep, 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 comes on. Oh, hallelujah. You just sit there for a minute. Was it a trick? Are they going to turn it back off? Just making things work? Oh, what a relief. How about when you learn the purpose of Christ? There you were, carrying a burden so heavy, so problematic, so beyond what you could ever handle. And Christ just says, give me your sin, I'll pay for it. Understanding the purpose of why he manifested himself. Why would he come here? To take away our sins. Jesus. Titus chapter number 2. Save us from what? Oh, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Save from what, Pastor? Titus chapter number 2, look at verse 13. This answers the question. Save us from what? Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Remember, we just read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. He had no sin. He didn't have anything he had to pay for. I was the one that had the trouble. You were the one that had the debt. And he says, I'll come pay for that. Look at verse 14 again. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Some of you have taken that peculiar people and just ran with it. It just made it your own. That's great. Hey, we all, as Christians, as believers, the doctrinal thing behind this, the spiritual application is, yeah, we ought to stand out. We ought to be peculiar from this world. Our conduct ought to be different. Why? Because we've been forgiven of our sin. We know that heaven is our home. We know what this is really all about. It ought to be strange when a Christian is consumed in worldly affairs. That's not how it should be. We should be contrary to this world. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We've been purchased. Our sins have been forgiven. Your sin debt was paid for. Do you know that? 1 John chapter number 2. Big word in 1 John chapter number 2. The word is propitiation. Big word for just payment. Look at 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you. 1 John 2 chapter 2 verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hey, who's going to go on my behalf? I ever watch those courtroom, real-life courtroom dramas? And you got the guy, and there he is, and he has done bad things. And then there's someone there just kind of going through the motions. Why? Because they know the person's guilty. And I'm so glad God, knowing our guilt, yet sent us an advocate, one that represents us. A righteous representation, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. So imagine in our minds, in our life, there we are sitting on the stand, and we are found guilty. We know we're guilty. We're guilty of sin. The penalty doesn't have to go to a jury. Doesn't have to, the judge is God himself. And he says, you are guilty. Guilty of sin. You've offended me. And for that you will pay eternity in hellfire. You have to be separated from me. And at that moment, one stands who is perfect and pure and righteous and says, I will take their penalty. Let them go. That's exactly what happened when you got saved. Your sins were accredited to somebody else. They were imputed. They were charged to Christ. And in exchange, his righteousness gets charged to us. What's the big deal about Jesus? He saved us. There he was in the courtroom that day speaking on our behalf. And every single one of us are on trial. Individual between us and the Lord. But we have one, an advocate. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only. I hate to get carnal for a moment, but have you seen those State Farm commercials? And they're like, hey, we want that special deal that you give us. He's like, it's not a special deal, it's for everybody. Christianity, salvation. Hey, it's not just for you, it's for everybody. But also the sins of the whole world. Jesus could do something that nobody else could. And that's why he came. Luke 2:11 tells us this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Revelation chapter number 1, we're reminded that he has washed us clean. Two names today. Number 1, Jesus, who would save his people from their sin. I hope you see your need for salvation today. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's what today is all about. That's why he came. It's not about coming to church. It's about putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But number 2, there was another name listed. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 23. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son. We've already been told his name, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, as God with us. Jesus is his purpose. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the one that will save his people from their sins. Number two, Emmanuel is the comfort. So what does that mean? Well, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we're familiar maybe with the verse. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of two things, grace and truth. Christ came, paid for our sins. He left us with a departing promise in Matthew chapter number 28. Not only is he Jesus who saves us, he is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But what's good if God is only with us for a period of time and then leaves? No. He's much better than that. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hey, that's his name. That's who he is. Yes, Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sin. But not just that, he is Emmanuel. And at the end of his time here on earth, he says, I'm going to be with you forever. What good is God if he's just with us for a moment? No, he's with us always. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes, we have the promise of salvation, the greatest gift ever given. But we have another promise. He'll never leave us either. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm going to try and get there quick so I can get a drink of water. Oh, my water's in my seat. Never mind. We're almost done anyways. It's okay. No, I'm good. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Look at verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. First Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Hey, there's something special about Jesus. What is that? He's given us the opportunity, God with us, leading us in godliness. Mystery of godliness. How can I be godly? How can I do righteous things? Well, God saved you. But number two, he indwells inside of you. And no matter when he becomes your Savior, you know what? There's two things I pretty much always have in my pockets, and it feels weird if I don't. I have my phone on this side and my wallet on that side. I don't know, maybe you have like a, Mr. Seatman, do you have a pocket knife, right? Do you always carry a pocket knife? That little one, yeah. Does it feel weird if you don't have it with you? Yeah. Like I was charging my phone during the day the other day, and it just felt strange. Say that you're messed up. Okay, whatever. I'm giving the illustration here of there's certain things that maybe you always have with you, and it feels weird not to have it. Do you understand that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? And no matter where you go, it's not like your phone or your keys or your wallet that you can misplace. Have it slide out of your pocket. Ever have your phone or something slide out of your pocket, didn't know where, and then you got to retrace your steps? The Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit, once inside, is always inside. Doesn't leave. Doesn't say, you know what? I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. This is no longer fun. No, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that comforts us and leads us and guides us and directs us every step of the way. If we would simply just listen to him, Emmanuel, God with us, always. as he becomes our Savior, he says, I'll be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. John chapter 14, our final passage this morning. John chapter 14. The two names, Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, I will be with you. Hey, maybe you're going through a dark time in your life. Maybe you're wondering, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. How about you get saved, and God is now inside of you, and with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, there's great direction in your life. Oftentimes, young people try and go in a direction without ever asking God. Why wouldn't you ask the one that knows everything? That is eternal, past, present, and future. Holds all power. Why wouldn't you ask him? Why on your hardest of days do you turn to other things and not turn to the Lord? Well, God's just not available. He's always available to the Christian. John chapter 14, verse 16, it says this, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What is that? That's God with you, Emmanuel. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. As a believer, hey, when we get a hold of Jesus, we get something that nobody else has. It's the Spirit of truth. It only comes through Christ. The world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hey, you can't lose that. It's not like a phone or keys or wallet or whatever it is, your chapstick, I don't know, or a little pocket knife. He's in there. I will not leave you comfortless, he says. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Hey, isn't that comforting? Knowing God didn't just save you and say, hey, good luck. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that encouraging to know that God just didn't say, you know what, I got eternity settled, but it's going to be a rough go from here until there because you're kind of on your own. No, he didn't say that at all. He says, I'm going to be so close to you, I'm going to be inside your heart. Look at what he says. Look at these words here in verse 21 and verse 23. It says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will, look at the word again, manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, just so we're clear, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And look at this, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We have a Christmas tradition. I don't know what your traditions are. I don't know how this got started at our house. I don't know. 8 years ago, my wife's sister's family, so my wife and her sister came up with a great idea. On Christmas Eve, let's do sleepover. So for the last 8 years, my sister-in-law and her husband and three children and my mother and father-in-law come over to our house Christmas Eve night. We eat way too much cheese and stuff, and then the kids have a great time, and then they go home Christmas morning. Michael and I, every year that he's my brother-in-law, we try and figure out how to thwart it and get out of it, sometimes he picks up overtime to do things like that, you know, whatever. And just, you know, we're trying. But sure enough, last night, yesterday afternoon, in the midst of wind whipping and cold here, showing up at our door, right? They don't even knock, they just come in. But, you know, just for illustration purpose, there they are. And what do they got? They got stuff. They're coming in with blankets. They're coming in with, and I'm like, all right. They're going to make their abode with us for some time. moving in. They got changes of clothes. There they are in our bathroom brushing teeth, and they're doing their routines. That's exactly what Christ says. Here's what, they just brought stuff. The Holy Spirit of God says, I'm here to stay, and I'm staying for a long time. The Bible said forever. I will be with you that he may abide with you forever. Do you understand that that relationship isn't even contingent on you? He says, I'm going to make you a promise that you can't break. I'm so true. I'm so right. I cannot lie. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to live in there. I'm going to make my abode with you. Why? Because his name's Emmanuel. God with us. And when he becomes Jesus, the Savior, you get Emmanuel too. Every single day, every single moment, every single second, God inside of you. And he's going to stay there for a long time. He brought his stuff. He's not looking to get out. He's looking to stay. He will make his, he will manifest himself, and he, the Bible says, and make our abode with him. We're settling in. So today, what's the big deal about Jesus? It is a name which is above every name. It is the name in which defines his purpose. He came here on purpose to save his people from their sins. Because you and I could not do that on our own. And not only did he save us, he says, I'm going to indwell you, and every day, every moment, every second, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you take steps of faith. I'm going to help you through the darkest of times. I'm going to give you wisdom in the greatest of times. I will be with you. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, say, what does that mean? I'll just ask you a simple question. If today was the last day on earth, where would you spend eternity? Say, I don't have plans. Josh, you could probably help us with this. There's a lot of people that didn't plan on crossing into eternity, but it happens too early. They're called accidents. If an accident happened today, so why are you asking a question? This is Christmas. We're supposed to be thinking of joyful things. I just want you to know how serious this is. Because once you cross over, that's it. It's done. The time to make that decision is today. Why? Because you don't know what tomorrow is. So if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Say, well, I hope. No, no. The Bible tells me that I can know for sure that I have eternal life. If you don't know for sure, it's simply this: acknowledging that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, repenting of your sin. Say, what does repent mean? It means turning from your sin. It says, I'm leaving that life. I'm going to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and put my faith and trust in Jesus. There's nothing good. I can't do enough to save myself. It has got to be. It is only Jesus. Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you save me? And at that moment, he comes inside your heart and you get a comforter. You get Emmanuel, God with you from that day, all eternity, forever. Why wouldn't you? That's the greatest gift ever given. My kids got me a cool thing this Christmas. Got me a wireless meat thermometer. Comes with an app. I don't think it's going to last eternity. Good gift, not salvation, though. It's the greatest gift. Forgiven of your sin. Promised a home in heaven. And every single day hereafter, God inside of your heart. I promise you. You may be thinking, well, I don't need God. Oh, you need God. It's like one of those gifts. You get it and you didn't realize how much you needed it until you got it. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. Why not? The greatest day to get saved. on the day that Jesus Christ, as we celebrate his purpose. Hey, maybe you've been not yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. See, what does that mean? When God says, go this way, you go that way. That doesn't go good for you, I promise. Because God knows better than what you know. And yes, God does live inside of us, but sometimes, much like children don't always listen to their parents, we don't always listen to God. And that gets us in trouble. Maybe you today, you want to change course. I've been doing things my way. I want to start doing things God's way. Let's all stand. We're at the end of service. Hey, don't let your pride keep you from eternity. Don't let your pride keep you from putting your faith and trust in Christ. Humble yourself. Hey, Christian, don't let your pride keep you from doing what God so desires to do inside your heart. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I know you look all fancy and so pretty and so handsome, gentlemen. Be careful not to split your pants if you come down here. You know, they're tight and, you know, you're Christmas. So you shouldn't have said that. You're probably right. But in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you yield yourself to the Lord and say, God, I've never asked you, honestly, to save me from my sin. Today is the day. That's why he came. That's what today is all about. Yes, we celebrate with family. Yes, we celebrate by giving gifts and a demonstration of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's why we exchange gifts. Why? Because we have love one for another, and we care for one another, and we express that through gift. God, the same way, loved you, cared for you, so he gave you a gift. Who? His only begotten Son. So in a moment, we have an invitation. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, why don't you come forward today? Number two, maybe you just in your heart say, I need to do better to yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. I've gone, when he tells me to go left, I have a tendency to want to go right. Maybe you need some comfort here today. Maybe you need some wisdom, some guidance. Remember, it's God with us. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, work in our midst. If someone here today isn't saved, may today be the day that they put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we need you. God, thank you for who you are, the Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?